Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm David.
And I'm Sherry.
Today we get to talk about a subject or a topic that we were asked to address, and we are happy to do that. And just to give you a little bit of context, here is the request, and this is what we want to address, and it's a good one, and we've touched on parts of this, but not this directly.
Right.
And so we're excited to be able to, you know, more or less speak directly, not only to this person, but no doubt others who feel the same way.
Right.
So the request is they're interested, really interested in the progression of sexual addiction from porn to contact with others to affairs. And what is an affair relationship to an addict? Those are really good questions.
Yes.
We have lots of thoughts on that.
We do. And probably there's a lot of nuance, I guess, with both of these questions.
It's because, like, how much time do you have?
Right. And I think part of that is that we're human beings that are different from each other.
Right.
And so people have different experiences. So we're going to say it could be this or this or this and some of this and maybe some of this or three out of four or, you know, so it may not be as quite as clear cut of answers as maybe sometimes we hope. That's just going to be a little box check and we're going to understand all of human behavior, but
welcome all of to sexual the social addiction sciences. In just a couple of minutes, right?
Yes. So we're talking about progression of sexual addiction. We actually wanted to add a few additional pieces in here.
Yeah.
So the likelihood that porn escalates to harder porn or to child porn or to contact with others, which, you know, we've kind of are defining for this purpose as things like dating apps or chatting sites.
Non-physical.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Flirting with other people.
Reaching out.
Video chats, those types of things. And then physical contact or affairs.
Right.
Kind of lumping that together. So in-person sex, dating, you know, those types of things. So we're adding a couple because I feel like there are a lot of people that want to know about those as well.
Right. And they fit. So it's good to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other piece that we want to add in there too, as well is the likelihood that porn is going to escalate to abuse of children.
Which are questions that we hear a lot.
Right.
Genuine concerns when someone, let's say, your average scenario, husband looks at porn, wife finds out, discovers it. And a common worry or concern is
all of these things.
All of these things.
One or all of them.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, are our children at risk?
Right.
Does this mean that, you know, I need to start paying attention to if they are together alone or something? And these are good questions. These are good concerns. So we can speak to our experience of this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe help you to understand this a little better.
Yeah. So I think probably the first thing that is important to talk about is that sexual addiction is often a progressive disorder. And that happens because, again, what's happening in the brain, we're filling these dopamine slots in the brain. And as we fill those repeatedly full, right, with something, with, again, pornography, sexual types of activities, fill those real fast, right, as opposed to going and taking a walk, you know, other, reading a good book, watching a TV show or something like that.
Serotonin versus dopamine, right?
Yes, yes, big difference. And so as we fill those slots consistently, the brain goes, oh, we need more slots.
Right.
Right. We need more. I mean, okay, let's use the technical term. We need more dopamine receptors. Right. So as we consistently, again, fill those, then we need more dopamine receptors. That's what the body is, the message to the body is. And so they create more dopamine receptors. So what that does is that the current thing that you are doing then doesn't quite fill all those receptors anymore.
It just doesn't feel the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because now we've got more going, we have more available. And so it becomes a progressive thing often because we need more of whatever it is in order to get the same result.
We like to call that tolerance.
Yes.
So we build tolerance and then we need novelty. Novelty will say, hey, this is fun and exciting. This is different. And now the brain feels that high again.
Right.
Not that it felt no high, it just got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. So, yes, sexual addiction is often a progressive disorder. And sometimes, but again, we're looking at human nature. So sometimes it doesn't progress, or it progresses extremely slowly. So you may have someone who has been looking at the same type of things on and off, but it's been decades.
Right.
And it doesn't really escalate.
Right. And that's actually more common than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will have pretty good boundaries around certain things, even though the spouse is hearing about this and going, well, why would they do that? That doesn't make sense. I'm sure they're lying and they've done all this other stuff. And their partner is saying, no, actually, I would not do that. And I have, and Sherry does too, I'm sure, clients who their porn, because porn is, we loosely define it, right? If you go back to, you know, the trust discussions and what mm-hmm. do we report? Porn is anything that arouses you.
Right.
And so some clients, their porn is like women in swimsuits. And it never went beyond that. And a lot of people scratch their head and go, really though? Like, really? And for them, it just didn't. They had a really hard boundary on that. And so that is possible. So this isn't, you know, if somebody ever looks at something and it becomes addictive, then it must be by now. How long has it been? 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
You've got to be in so deep that you're not necessarily.
Right. Because again, I think when you're talking about different people having different boundaries around it, right? They might be looking and then not look for a while. So they don't build that tolerance.
Certainly if it's more frequent. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure tolerance is a different progression for them. Yeah.
Right. And there may be other aspects around it that create, when they are viewing enough of a novelty or enough of that, that they're not developing a tolerance. So again, it absolutely, for some people, hasn't really progressed and doesn't. And that's not to say that it never will, but for many people, it doesn't actually progress, or progresses extremely slowly over time. So again, hopefully this doesn't end up being more confusing than not, but what we're really talking about is, again, human nature. And if you look at social science, there are just a lot of different aspects because we are all different, right?
But safe to say, right, that most of the time, the average case, there's tolerance that builds,
mm-hmm.
there's a need for novelty, and it progresses.
Right. But again, it might go really slowly, or for some people, it goes very fast.
Right.
So, yes, there's a progression typically, and that can be a quick progression or a slower progression. So typically we're going to see it kind of in the order that we talked about. Like, you're going to go from lighter porn use to more harder use.
Think like images to video.
Right.
Right.
And that, or, you know, multiple people, or, you know, we start talking about, you know, harm within the videos, you know, things like that. again, I think we should probably also talk about with this, like, harder in quotation marks, referencing, I think some people have concerns about, okay, so if it's, I think this goes with the child porn aspect, does that mean that it's, they're going to escalate into child porn, right, automatically? Or for example, maybe if heterosexual porn is their thing, are they going to move into, gay porn?
Right.
And again, that depends on the person and what type of novelty,
right,
is, ends up being stimulating for them. And so I think often, and David, you can tell me if your experience is different, but often if someone hasn't had as many childhood, if they haven't had childhood experiences, with porn or a situation involving a big age gap, then child porn is, it often comes from a child, a circumstance in childhood that's related to that. Is that kind of what you've seen?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a sexual template that's developed. Right,
exactly.
Or if that's like their first experience with porn was child porn, as opposed to a different kind of porn.
Right. Early experiences, you know, these sort of sexual awakenings, and when you're really young, you know, a young person's body, that's kind of in your mind often as a memory, and for some they really gravitate towards that more, and right. So hopefully this also kind of gives you some perspective as well, because when you just hear child porn, it just sounds like you're this terrible monster, but you have to consider why it would be that and what their history is like and what they've been through, and then it starts to make more sense, like Sherry always talks about, when you understand the story, people make sense. Not that that isn't something that should absolutely be avoided.
Right. It's not an excuse.
Right.
It's an explanation.
Right.
So yes, if they have formative sexual experiences, right, that are related to child porn or have to do with that experience themselves, then they're probably going to be more likely than someone who doesn't.
Right.
Does that make sense? So if you don't have that, I think probably a better way to say that is if you haven't had those formative sexual experiences around child porn or those types of things, age differences and things, you're going to be less likely for it to escalate in that direction.
Yeah, and the thought maybe some of you might have is, oh, wait, I know that my spouse had early sexual abuse or early formative experiences. In my experience, even with that, child porn is rare.
Right.
And so a lot of people have had early childhood experiences sexually.
I guess maybe to clarify, like, if your first formative childhood experiences with porn or teenage experiences with porn were child porn, right? Like you were exposed to child porn, then that may be a little bit more, that may end up being more in your sexual template.
Right.
As opposed to being abused as a child.
Right.
So
people listening, don't panic. It's not a guarantee that, oh, wait, I know my partner had some early childhood experiences. Oh, no. It's still, right. I guess the point I'm making is it's still rare.
It is rare. It is rare, more across the board. But yeah, that's, I think, what we're trying to say is your formative sexual experiences, if child porn is involved in that,
right,
is going to maybe make you a little bit more likely than someone who doesn't have, right, that space. But again, it's still more of a rare space. Again, the same thing with moving from heterosexual to gay porn. Again, we're looking at sexual template a lot of times. And so if perhaps their first experiences were with gay porn or were sexual abuse that was homosexual in nature, then they're going to have more tendencies toward that type of
male
of porn.
Male gay porn, yeah. Female, like lesbian, that's going to be pretty regular, pretty normal for guys, for example. But definitely gay porn of males. Yes, absolutely.
So, again, we're looking at potentially considering the sexual templates that were developed early on as you're looking at the likelihood of those types of things showing up later. Certainly, harder porn is probably the most common space that we see. I think harder porn is probably the easiest one. That is the most likely that it's going to progress.
Definitely. Right?
So, but again, when we're looking at different, because again, a child porn is a different template. It's a different sort of sexual template. And gay porn is, again, a different template.
Right.
Right. And so that can still feel, people can still make that jump. It is possible to kind of jump into that different template because that is, you know, a novelty space. But it's a little less likely than simply escalating to harder porn within within your sexual template or the same sexual template. Then we move into contact with others. So again, dating apps, chatting sites, flirting,
right?
Online or over the phone, you know, phone sex, those kinds of things. Again, same template. Right, can escalate for sure. But again, it's hard to just sit and say, like, I don't know that any of us can point to another human and go, well, you're going to end up right here.
Right.
Right. I think we start getting into whether or not a person, like, where their boundaries are, like, where their personal boundaries are. We start getting into things of, what other kinds of emotional issues? I think, because oftentimes when we're doing sexual disclosures, right, and sexual histories, I think if you have a past history prior to the marriage of multiple partners,
right,
or of acting out in these ways, and then maybe you haven't in the marriage, and you're wondering, oh my goodness, is this going to potentially escalate? I think if you have a past history of that, you're probably going to be more likely to start to dabble in those things.
Yeah.
In the marriage. But again, every person is different, right? Right. And I think the same is going to be true of physical contact and affairs, in-person sex, dating, you know, those kinds of things in person. If that's been a history prior to the marriage, there's going to be a higher chance that it will escalate into that space. Because if you're having multiple relationships, if you're really getting on there and doing that a lot prior to, then we're starting to look at, oh, do I need that acceptance, that validation? Do I, you know, need to feel wanted by people, you know, in that way to make me feel good, right?
Right, which is a big consideration. You know, when you start to involve other people, a lot of this is, you know, relationship needs that they're seeking, need for, you know, attention and validation. And we'll talk about that more with affairs. But in my experience, leaving this porn world and going now into a world of contact with others is very much about feeling rejected or lonely, liking the attention from another person, because you don't get that in porn. Porn may be fun or arousing or exciting, but there's no relationship. There's no sense of validation or approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so now contact with others, we're starting to get into that more.
Right. It's a little bit, and I think, again, it's upping the ante because there's potential in that space for rejection, which also then makes the reward higher,
right?
There's also potential. It's also more dangerous, right?
Right.
And so that's upping the ante a little bit. So I think ultimately what we're saying is this, here's the progression. And let's talk really quickly about actually abusing children, right, or others, I don't know that I would even put this in a progression space, right? I don't think it, we go, okay, yeah, well, you looked at porn, and so now
right.
you're going to be abused, you're going to...
It's fundamentally yes. changed your character somehow.
Yes.
Right.
I think oftentimes we see it almost, the correlation is almost the opposite. Like if you are someone that is willing to abuse children, then you're looking at porn probably. Right?
Right.
I don't know that the correlation is going to go the other way as right. much. Right?
Right.
I think there's some fundamental other things going on that would lead to that space. Now, do people then that look at porn, are there some people that are doing that? For sure.
And right? you see how nuanced this all is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because is this about power and control? What kind of person are we talking about? Are we talking yes. about a narcissist? Are we talking about... So there's so much here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you driven to porn or relationships outside of your marriage, for example, for power and control reasons
right.
or issues or for something else?
Right. And even power control and even narcissistic power and control can... look different, right? Is it a space of being wanted by someone of the opposite sex, and I have so much power and control that they just can't even help themselves?
If
type
I can,
of a feel.
If it's a conquest, if I can get them to
right.
do
as
something.
Opposed to like a force power and control, which might look a little bit more like. And then again, we're looking at sexual templates. And so is that a more of, are we looking at more rape porn? Are we looking at more child porn, you know, and abuse types of situations? So
right.
I think if you have that power and control concern, you know, or if that's the issue, is it's a power and control thing, then you're still looking at templates. You're still looking at how that is showing up that, you know, you might, they may not ever do abuse children, but they may be more likely to rape someone, right? So again, there's a ton of nuances and a ton of different pieces in that. So it may end up being more clear as mud than anything.
In review, right?
Yes.
Does sexual addiction progress?
Yes.
Yeah. Does it always progress on the same
yes.
pattern for everyone?
Absolutely no. Absolutely
no,
not.
No, 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 no. And the reasons why are varied too. So,
mm-hmm.
but hopefully as we were talking about this, you were seeing some familiarity with what maybe you know about the person or yourself.
Uh-huh. Or yourself. And you can kind of look at, okay, where am I at with some of these things?
And this is really helpful too, I just want to say, because this helps you to work through what's underneath, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as we talk about early childhood sexual experiences, formative experiences,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
templates.
Sherry called it, really important when we then want to work through it in like a therapeutic setting.
And heal, and yes, all of those types of things. And so with that, I think we'll go ahead and wait to address what does an affair mean to an addict in our next episode. And make sure you listen, because again, we're going to talk about some of those patterns, some of the underneath things that are going on that can affect why addiction is happening and progression issues.
Yes.
So join us next time for that.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.